Okay, Shalom Bracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Kodesh class learning. It is also Erev Shabbos Haggadah. It is Erev Chag HaPasach Baruch Hashem. So it's a very big schuss for me because my final shiur before Chag HaPasach, to the best of my knowledge, I don't have any other shiur before Pesach, is the Shabbos Kodesh class. And like we know, it is not the Jews who keep Shabbos, it's Shabbos who keeps the Jews. The biggest chus to be finishing this year of learning from Nisan to Nisan, Baruch Hashem, with insights into Shabbos Kodesh. We continue to thank our sponsors very, very much, who has asked not to be named, but Tizku, the Mitzvah, Soma Maisim Tovim, to you and your entire family. And this year should be a chus for the Aliyah Neshama and Zechir Neshama Latova, for Chayish Prince Abbas Avraham, Allah HaShem, the Neshama Shalav Zechus, and the Aliyah, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share today together. So let's get into our learning. We're in the Sefer of Shimshon Pinchas, Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh, and we are up to page 74. Last time we spoke about the mirrors of Shabbos. Remember, Pinchas says that Shabbos Kodesh is a mirror. Now, that's the only thing it reflects, so Kodesh Baruch Hu. The other Yavim Tovim have themes, if you will. So, on other days, there's on other Yavim Tovim, Sukkot reflects Arba Minim, on the Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaSukkah itself, up to Pesach. If you would put up a mirror and you would say, what's the reflection of Pesach? You would say, Achilas Matzah, Achilas Mara, Haseba, Sipur Leil Yitziat Mitzrayim, the burning of the Chametz on Erev Chag. What's the mirror of Shabbos? Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, I'm going to the Sefer page 74, middle of the page, Yom Tov is compared to a picture. Each one has its own beautiful sea, but Shabbos is a mirror. There is no content of its own. Shabbos is a day on which the whole world stops. There's no plowing, there's no cooking, there's no writing, there's no creating. And when everything stops, what is left? If there's no noise, says David Melech, and to you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, silence is praise. Why is the greatest praise of Kodesh Baruch Hu silence? Because when we are silent and when the world is silent, there's room to hear the voice of God in our lives. And when everything stops, what's left? Only Hashem, Ulecha, and to you, Dumia, silence, Tehillah. That's the greatest praise. But why? Doesn't mean that we should be silent. It means when the world is silent, there's room for Hashem in our lives. On this day, there's no world. On this day, says Rav Pinchas, there's only Hashem. Therefore, if you would look into the mirror of Shabbos, what does it reflect? The Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is why we say that Shabbos is the day of Hashem. Bottom paragraph, page 74. And that is why Shabbos has so many intricate halachos. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, what do you need to do? You need to pick up a lulav. Vayikra 23:40 Chaf Gimel Mem Ulekach Dem Lachem Biyam Arishon Priyei Tzadar Kapost Tamarim Va'anaf Eitz Avos Va'arim Ve'nachol Sumachnu Vnei Hashem Akechem Shuvas Yamim. So what is the actual mitzvah? Lekach Dem Lachem. The mitzvah Do Reisa is to take on the first day. So what do you do for lulav? He says in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, but of course he means the arba minim lulav esro gadasim and aravos. You need to pick it up. Ulekach Dem Lachem. Take it. Shaking it, the na'anuim in six directions adds to the mitzvah. That says Rav Pinchas, the basic Torah requirement is fulfilled the moment you take it into your hand. Now you've taken the arba minim. Once you take the arba minim as a bundle, you fulfill the mitzvah. Whereas on Shabbos, every move we make is complicated. For 24 hours, it's a little bit more, of course, than 24 hours. We must pray, it's 25, 26. We must pay attention to everything we do. You want to make a salad? You have to pay attention. You want to open the refrigerator? Pay attention. You want to turn on the tap? Which direction? Is it the hot, the cold? If you're in Eretz Yisrael, there's different in Yanim, Balamaisa, regular hope. Chutzar, it's Rahman Atzlan. Hot or cold? You want to pull off a paper towel? You can't just rip off a paper towel. Did you break them before Shabbos? Did you rip before Shabbos? Do you have pre-cut paper towels? Everywhere we turn in Shabbos, says Rav Pinchas, top page 75. Shabbos. And everywhere we turn, it's again Shabbos. And not just in the kitchen, and not just in the living room. Let me go outside. In Kadar Shabbos. What about Hotzah, the complex process of transferring objects from domain to domain? And so it is with virtually every move we make on Shabbos. So Shabbos is not something that you can fulfill, like Ulekach Dem Lachem Biyam HaRishon, you take the Arba Minim, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. When it comes to Shabbos, every aspect of the 25, 26 hours is filled with halachos in everything that we do. And that is the next thing Rav Shimshon Pinchas says. Hilchos Shabbos surround and permeate our lives because Hashem surrounds and fills everything. So just like the mirror of Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if there's a constant mirror, then there's a constant reflection. So if Shabbos is constantly reflecting, it's constantly reflecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, since Hashem surrounds and fulfills everything, Hilchos Shabbos surround and fulfill everything. We live this reality on Shabbos. There's nothing but Shabbos. There's nothing but Hashem, says Rav Pinchas. The entire world ceases to exist and we are now alone with Hashem, since there is nothing else. In this way, the numerous restrictions on Shabbos allow us to break free from the bounds of ordinary mundane reality. So we might think it's so restrictive, but the truth is all the lechos free us. Not only are they not restrictive, adra, but they release us from restriction of the week, and they take us into a place of great freedom, because we cannot do so many things from malachas machshavas. So what is that left? That leaves us with only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Shabbos and the halachas of Shabbos allows to, quote, break free of the bounds of the ordinary mundane reality. On Shabbos, you're a whole different person. Your existence is completely different, because you look in the mirror, and who's looking back at you? Kaviyachol, the Shechina. Today, we are not just human beings on Shabbos living in an ordinary world. We are transformed and uplifted to a whole new plane of reality in which on Shabbos, a Jew is alone with Hashem. I'm going to quote from the Sefer Shabbos, A Day to Create Yourself, by Chief Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, the Chief Rabbi of South Africa. I've quoted from this before, not so recently, but a couple of times. It's a Sefer, a very nice book. When I was in actually Palo Alto, my hostess had quite a number of them back in November, and she generously gifted me one of them. I was so excited. I said, oh, I teach a class on Shabbos Kodesh, and she said she had a whole stack. I don't know, someone gave it to her to distribute, so she was very generous. And here we go. Shabbos is our soulmate. So it's a sefer with different short essays regarding the meaning and the impact and the beauty of Shabbos Kodesh. Our soulmate. We don't just keep Shabbos, says Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, Chief Rabbi, Dr. Warren Goldstein. We don't just keep Shabbos, we connect deeply with it. Shabbos is our soulmate, and it has been since the beginning of time. So if your neshama is connected to something, what's our neshama connected to? Not just that we're friends with Shabbos, we are soulmates with Shabbos. That makes sense, why? Because if your neshama is a chelek alokai mima, that's actually a pasuk from Iyub Perek, you might think pasuk of Aleph. If your neshama is a chelek alokai mima, and Hashem is Shabbos, then when you are connected to the soul of Shabbos, you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Shabbos is our soulmate, and it has been since the beginning of time. The Medrash expresses this beautifully, says Chief Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein. It says that when God created the world, each day had a natural partner. Sunday and Wednesday were connected. They had in common the creation of light. Monday and Thursday were connected by being days on which respectively the water and the fish, the skies and the birds were created. He gives all sources. I did not look up the Medrash. I'm quoting from his Sefer. Tuesday and Friday were the days on which land and animals were created. But Shabbos was created with no partner. And Hashem said the Jewish people will be your soulmate. Like a true soulmate, Shabbos brings us simcha, joy and happiness. And it also, unless we have an inyan of being besimcha when we're in the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You must rejoice when you're in the presence of God. And the most powerful time when we're in the presence of God, the most intense time when the presence of God is on Shabbos. Shabbos brings us joy and happiness and also influences us deeply. Shabbos shapes our character and our perspective. Shabbos molds our identity. That's why it's so interesting when you define if a Jew is Orthodox or religious. What do we call them? Shomer Shabbos yet. I don't know if still today, do people still say that today? But that was the distinction, that was the definition. Decades ago when the immigrants came, how did you know if somebody was what we call today from or observant, if they were Shomer Shabbos? Because Shabbos shapes our character, our perspective, it molds our identity. Conversely, divorcing ourselves from Shabbos, which is our soulmate, means losing a crucial part of Jewish identity. So just like a person cannot, chas v'shalom, successfully manage or live without one of their vital organs, well, they knew, so too, the vital organ of Klal Yisrael is Shabbos, and how can we live and survive without Shabbos? Every week, when we reconnect with Shabbos, such a matana. Shabbos doesn't give it to us once a month. He doesn't give it to us 3 times a year. Every single week, we have this chush to look in the mirror and see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every week, we have this chush to say, what is my soulmate? Lucha dumi tehila. Everything else is quiet. And it's you and Hashem. It doesn't matter who else is at the table. The inyan is that Hashem's at your table. Every week when we connect with Shabbos, we feel like we have come home to a loving soulmate. Shabbos is our, quote, best friend, I'm quoting, who is always there to hold us and nurture us. Shabbos gives us love and wisdom. As we sing joyfully at the Friday night Seuda, my Yedidus, how beloved, my Yedidus, Yedid, Menucha Seich, how beloved is your rest. We welcome Shabbos into our lives each week. Lecha Dodi, come, my friend, let us go to the bride. Lecha Dodi, Lecha to go, Dodi, Let's go greet the bride. Let's welcome Shabbos. To reflect that the sages of the Gemara would go out into the fields to welcome Shabbos. And they describe Shabbos as the bride. So just like the groom is ecstatic to see the bride, and the marriage, the Kiddushin, is, which he's going to talk about in a second, is the culmination of the relationship, the ecstasy of the relationship. That's what happens every week on Shabbos. We consecrate our marriage to Shabbos each week. The Hebrew word kiddush, kadesh, our declaration of the sanctity of Shabbos, shares the same root word as kiddushin, which describes the moment when the chasen gives the kal, the groom gives the bride the ring at the wedding ceremony, thereby consecrating and formalizing their marriage. So it's not an accident that we welcome Shabbos in with kiddush, and that a bride and groom stand under the chuppah and undergo a process of kiddushin, which tells us that every Shabbos, the chadodi come, my beloved, likras kala, pnei Shabbos nekavala. When we greet the face of Shabbos, she is our bride, and it's a marriage. When we say kiddush, think about this tonight. We are reconsecrating our bond with Shabbos. Think of the love between a chasen and kala. Think of the love we should have every week for Shabbos. On the verse, remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify. Remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify. The Medrash says, remember, refers to the moment that God declared Shabbos to be our soulmate. And that to sanctify it, the Kaddisho Zachar, as Yom Shabbos Kaddisho, this is very beautiful. The Medrasha Zachar means the moment that God said, Shabbos, you are the soulmate of Kaisha. And that's what we're supposed to remember. And that to sanctify it, the Kaddisho means to consecrate Shabbos in marriage. It's very interesting that he uses the word Zachar in regard to Shabbos, because it's something we speak about in regard to Yitziyat Mitzrayim. Zechira, memory, is something that you experience or something that happened to you. You can't remember something that did not happen to you. So if you tell me what you did last year for Chag HaPasach, you could share it with me. I could be happy for you. I could listen to you. I could pay attention. I can't remember what you did last Pesach. I could remember, Bezor Hashem, what I did last Pasach. But I do remember, Baruch Hashem, what I did last Chag HaPasach. But I can't remember what you did. Why not? Because it's extrinsic to me. I cannot remember something that did not happen to me. That should make very much sense to us. You can't remember something that didn't happen to you. You only remember what happened to you. It's very interesting, therefore, that the Pasuk in the Aseres Hadibros, which is the one that Chief Rabbi Dr. Ron Goldstein just quoted, uses the Lashon Zachar as Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. So it's not only remember every week that Shabbos is coming, even though the sages say yes. If you encounter a beautiful item in the marketplace, a nice piece of meat, flowers, I don't know, whatever, challah, whatever you're buying in the marketplace, you should say, this is going to be for Shabbos. Okay? You should say, a raise of Shabbos, you set aside, designate for Shabbos. So one way of fulfilling Zohar Shom Shabbos Akadjo is to remember every day of the week that Shabbos is coming. So when you're doing your errands, when you're doing the shopping, when you're preparing the home during the week, always think to yourself, Shabbos is coming in 5 days, in 4 days, in 3 days, in 2 days. By the way, it relates to marriage as well. Just like the Chas and Kala count down the days, they can't wait for the marriage to come. Every week we should be counting down the days. We do a Shir Shoyam, we count up, but we count the number of days to Shabbos. It denotes a certain excitement. We count, Sfiras HaOmer is coming. We count from Pesach to Shavuos. There's an excitement in the fact that we're going to be receiving the Torah. And that's how Shabbos should be also. We count the whole week. How do we count? With the Shir Shoyam. Hayom Rishon LeShabbos, Sheni LeShabbos. We're counting up because there's a certain excitement. So on the one hand, Zachar Shama Shabbos Kadosh means that the whole week you should think to yourself, Shabbos is coming. And what can I do to prepare for Shabbos? Yes, on Yom Rishon, on Yom Sheni Shlishi. That's keeping Shabbos in mind all the time. But Zachar means something else. Zachar means to remember something that I experienced. So if we're commanded Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, it means we all experienced an aspect of Shabbos long, long ago in the beginning of time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. God endowed Sabbath with the gift of Kedusha, and when we keep Shabbos, we are undergoing Kedushin with us and the Shabbos Kala, the Shabbos Hamalka, the Shabbos Bride. So perhaps we could say, what is it that we remember about Shabbos? Again, I can't remember a trip you took. You could remember a trip you took. You could share with me. You could narrate. You could write a book on it. I could read it. I don't have an experience of memory for something that was extrinsic to me. So perhaps we could use this to help us understand why Hashem says Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. So Wamsha, we already said, it means remember every day of the week that Shabbos is coming. But perhaps alternatively, it means remember refers to the moment God declares Shabbos to be our soulmate. So each one of our neshamos was endowed with the soulmate of Shabbos. And it's an experience we all underwent on the level of the neshamos. Perhaps it was in the Olam HaNeshamos by Maisa Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Shabbos and the neshama of Am Yisrael, your soulmates. And that's something we can remember on a very spiritual level. Why? Something that happened to all of us. We're all part of that experience. And you can remember things that happened to you. That bond intensifies, going back to the essay, over the course of the three stages of Shabbos. El Shabbos, Shabbos morning, and Shabbos afternoon. The three stages of Shabbos and the Amida prayer, the Shemana Esrei, that we recite at each of the three stages, reflect the three stages of a wedding ceremony. A Kedushin, the sanctification with the ring, the blessings of the Chuppah, and the Yichud. So Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein says that the three stages, the Leil Shishi, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and the Tfilos that correspond to each, reflect three different stages under the Chuppah. One is the sanctification, the Kedushin with the ring, Harei Mikudash Asli. Two is the blessings, the Shavu Brachas under the Chuppah. And three would be Yichud, the moment of seclusion of the bride and the groom after the Chuppah. Just as the true soulmate gives us love and support. So a person hopes that the soulmate with whom they share their life, and that could be a close friend, it could be a close confidant, it could be a close family member, in addition to being a spouse. Sometimes a person is a soulmate, it's not necessarily a spouse, but what does a soulmate give you? Love and support. Hopefully we all have that experience of people who give us love and support in life. People who hold us, proverbially, obviously. People who carry us through life. Shabbos has accompanied us on all of our journeys throughout history, across millennia and continents, wherever the Jews go. We're dispersed to Arba Kanvas Arts, Rechmana Letzlan. Wherever Jews go, Shabbos goes with them. We have been scattered to every corner of the globe. We encounter diverse cultures and languages. It is an experience that can cause a nation to become fragmented and disintegrated. What other nation? Just think about this statistically. And Hashem doesn't point to statistics. But think about the odds. What are the chances? Ein mikra ba'olam. I know. Asher karcha v'darach. But what are the chances that a nation that has been dispersed from their land, I'd say 2,000 years ago, let's say even 1,000 years ago, 1,000 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash, not 2,000, 1,000 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they're on the four continents of the earth, not four continents, four corners of the earth, and they're scattered to Arba Kanvas Ha'aretz. How does this people still survive? I mean, just think about that Al Pi Teva. It's actually impossible. They're not bound by common language. You have Jews who speak French and Spanish and Russian and Farsi and Ivrit and English, and I don't know whatever other languages. So you have Jews who are all over, who speak all different languages, whose customs and cultures are very different. How is there still one Am Yisrael? It's really one of the biggest miracles of nature. There is no other nation in recorded history that has survived such a lengthy exile and dispersion. No other nation in recorded history that has been able to survive such a prolonged exile and such a vast dispersion. Having Shabbos as our constant companion through this turbulence and uncertainty has been vital in helping us to defy the odds. It's incredible to think about. And also today, we are living in a world of turbulence and uncertainty. It's a world of great turbulence and uncertainty. What gives us stability? What gives us the tools to be able to survive? Shabbos. Shabbos is vital in helping us defy the odds. Shabbos brings us joy and inspiration, rest and respite, no matter what we have faced. Like a beloved friend, Shabbos assures us we are precious and valuable. It reminds us of our divine mission. It fortifies us with a sense of purpose. It gives us the strength to endure grueling challenges. We know that once a week, no matter what the week has brought, no matter what the news says, no matter what's happening in the world, we have a Shabbos. It's a chance to recharge. Lahavdil, to plug in the battery, to charge the rechargeable battery once again. Lahavdil, that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos has given us courage and strength to withstand all the adversities and all the adversaries of Jewish history. The adversities, the trials and the tribulations, the adversaries, the enemies, and there are many of Jewish history. Shabbos is what keeps us together. It's a very beautiful essay. Shabbos has always been there for us. She is there for us. It's not that we are there for her. Shabbos is there for us through times of celebration and times of mourning, through triumph and failure, optimism and despondency. No matter what we have been through, Shabbos has always given us dignity. One day every week, we are free. And one day every week, we all know we are blessed. and the light of Shabbos shines even in the darkest moments. I think this is such a beautiful essay in general, so descriptive of the kochos that Shabbos gives us, but also especially for this Chag HaPasach, Manishtana Halayla Zemikol Alelos. We always know that the enemies want to destroy us. It's very clear that in every generation, the enemies want to destroy us, but sometimes they're more dormant. Sometimes they're hibernating to a certain degree. Sometimes they're out in the open to a very large extent. And today we are in a time when the raging, widespread to the four corners of the earth, anti-Semitism has reminded us once again in the most visceral sense of but now comes Shabbos, and Shabbos says, I will continue to shine in your darkest moments. I will give you dignity and respite. I will give you triumph and optimism and celebration. And so no matter what we have been through, through mourning, through failure, through despondency, one day every week, we remember we are really a free people. One day every week, we remember it's Am Yisrael who is blessed, and it is the Sone Yisrael who are cursed. And this light of Shabbos shines even in our darkest moments. The Gemara says, he has a beautiful idea here, that when the invading soldiers entered the temple's inner sanctuary to destroy it, when the enemy army entered the inner sanctuary, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they were there to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, Churban Beit HaMikdash. They noticed that the golden cherubs, the Kruvim that were on top of the Aron Kodesh, were miraculously intertwined in a loving embrace, expressing God's love for the people at this terrible moment on the eve of exile. So there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Beit HaMikdash is burning. The Jews are being slaughtered and thousands more are being taken into exile. How could it be that the Kruvim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim are in an embrace? Don't we know that when Hashem is happy with Klal Yisrael, the Kruvim are facing each other and loving and hugging. And when Hashem is not happy with Klal Yisrael and is reminding us to repent, the Kruvim are facing away from each other. It's a big nace, of course. It represents a Kodesh Baruch Hu's pleasure with Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom the other way, when we don't follow Ratzon Hashem. So how could it be the moment of Churban? The moment of Churban. I mean, that's Hashem's greatest wrath. Otherwise, the Beit HaMikdash were not going to be burned down to the ground. So how could it be that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kruvim are hugging in a loving embrace? This expresses God's love for the people at this terrible moment on the eve of exile. How do we understand this? It was by divine decree that the temple is destroyed. So how could this also be a moment of Hashem's love? Was it Rachamim and Ahava? Or was it Din and a Gezerah? Well, it was clearly Din and a Gezerah. Because here we still are almost 2,000 years later, suffering because of the Churban Beit HaMikdash and because our sins that perpetuate the Churban Beit HaMikdash. But on the other hand, there was a divine love as well, because Hashem was facing the people in an embrace. The answer is, it was Shabbos. And Shabbos is a day of, quote, divine love. The day that Hashem's presence is closest to us. Again, this goes back to Shem Shem Pinkus. What do you look at, if you look in the mirror, what do you see on Shabbos? Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So time for us and Hashem to be locked in a loving embrace. The answer is that the day they entered the sanctuary, the Kodesh HaKadoshim to destroy the Beit HaMikdash was on Shabbos. That is a day of divine love. It's a day when God's presence is closest to us. That's when the Holy of Holies was desecrated and destroyed. According to this, the timing of the destruction to coincide with Shabbos was crucial. At the very moment that the long exile was beginning, Hashem's presence would be with us in the closest way possible, accompanying us throughout the journey of exile, bringing us strength and comfort, love and support. So how come the Kruvim were locked in a loving embrace? Because it was Shabbos. Hashem said, you have to remember that even though the Gezeirah has to come, and even though the Churban has to come, I'm going to be with you in exile. I'm always going to be hugging you and loving you, holding you, supporting you, and journeying with you. How do we know? Because at the moment of destruction, the Kruvim were facing each other. Why? Because the day was Shabbos. And on Shabbos, there's only a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Kaiser. So there's no Romans, there's no Hamas, there's no Hezbollah, there's no Iran, there's no the UN, there's no Paro. We learned it here, the Medrash. And Moshe was able to arrange that the Jews had off. You remember, we learned it, Medrash Moshe Abba, that the Jews had off. They didn't have to work on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's no one else. Not only is there no work and no meetings and no technology and no Melechus Machshavos. On Shabbos, there's no one else except us and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is what accompanies us throughout the journey of exile. That's what gives us strength and support, comfort and love. Everything we lost, even when we lost everything else, says Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, when we lost our land, our holy city of Yerushalayim, our temple, we're going to say in the Haggadah. But when we lost our land, when we lost Yerushalayim, Miracles, when we lost the Beit HaMikdash, we could endure. How could we endure? Because we still had Shabbos. And Shabbos is our eternal soulmate. So Rabbi Goldstein, it's beautiful. So let's go back to the Sefer. The last thing we read from a Pinchas relates to what we just read from Shabbos, a day to create yourself. So let's just review the last few sentences of what we just heard from a Pinchas. And this way, the numerous restrictions of Shabbos allow us to, quote, break free of the bounds of the ordinary, the mundane reality. Today, we are not just human beings who live in an everyday world. We are transformed. We are uplifted on Shabbos to a whole new plane of reality in which we are alone with Hashem. So again, there's no Romans. There's no one pillaging and through the Beit HaMikdash. There's only us and Hashem. And that's what we have to feel every Shabbos. The whole world slips away. What's happening in the news? It's not relevant on Shabbos. There's only us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos. Kedusha of Shabbos comes from Hashem. Next section. This is related to the Yomim Tovim. And here we are, our Yom Tov. Virtually every type of Kedusha we know of is man-made. What does that mean, says our Pinchas? The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was produced by Yehoshua ben Nun. So I thought that was interesting. There's a concept of Kedisha l'sha'atav, a Kedisha l'asadavo. There's a concept in regard to Har HaBayis, Beit HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Kedisha l'sha'ata. The Kedusha is for the hour. Kedisha l'asadavo, it's also sanctified for the future. So the question is, with Churban Beit HaMikdash, was the Kedusha nullified? Was it only Kedisha l'sha'ata? As long as the Beit HaMikdash stood, it was holy. Or was it Kedusha l'asadavo? It was also holy into the future when the Beit HaMikdash did not stand. Lamaisa, I think it's interesting. He doesn't give a source here, but the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is produced by Yehoshua ben Nun. I just think that's an interesting nakuda, because we know that Kosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu the land of Israel, Yitzchak Avinu, Bereishis 26:3, Yaakov Avinu, returning to this land, I'll be with you, I will not leave you till I promise what I've done to you. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu was told about the Eretz of Adchalav Udvash, Moshe 3:8, Eretz Tovu Rechava. I'm not sure exactly what it means that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is produced by Yehoshua ben Nun, because Eretz Yisrael is endowed with a tremendous Kedusha because it's the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but what he's saying is that virtually every type of Kedusha we know of is man-made, and what he's going to say, of course, is that Shabbos is not a man-made Kedusha, but Shabbos is endowed with sanctity because God endowed with sanctity. I quote the Pesukim before. We say it in Kiddush Friday night, but it's from Bereishis. Parak Beis, Pesukim Aleph through Gimel. Vayichul HaShemayim V'Arts V'Chal Tzva'am, Vayichalu Kim Memesh V'Malach Toh Asher Asav, Reichel Kim Esh Yomesh V'Vi, Vayikadesh Oso. So the point here is going to be that we can endow certain things with Kedusha, and we're going to see it relates exactly to Yom Tov. But Shabbos is endowed with Kedusha not because we made it holy, because Hashem made it holy. So let's go back to the Sefer. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was produced by Yehoshua ben Nun. Then it was lost during the Babylonian exile, Galus Babel. Then it was reproduced by Ezra Sofer when the exiles came back to rebuild the Second Temple. The Kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash was created by Shmuel Navi and Shlomo HaMelech. How were they able to produce this Kedusha? So to me, that's a little different than Kedusha's Eretz Yisrael. Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash is a physical structure. Now we see clearly that Klal Yisrael could exist without the Beit HaMikdash. Is it ideal? No. Do we mourn for it? Yes. Do we pray for it to be rebuilt? 100%. But clearly, Klal Yisrael can survive for a very, very long time without the Beit HaMikdash, Rechamad HaLetzlan. So we see that the action of building L'Shem Shemaim sanctifies and consecrates it, and it brings down the Shekhinah. How are they able to produce this Kedusha, says Rav Pinchas? In order for a material thing to be filled with Kedusha, something physical, the Beit HaMikdash was a very physical space. It had gold and silver and copper, all kinds of beautiful materials and wools and bigde kahuna and wood. It was very, and stone. It was very physical. How can something physical be filled with Kedusha? By the way, that's something we have to take a lesson from. When we set a Yom Tov table, that's a very physical thing. I mean, objectively, everything on the table is physical. Matzah is bread and water. Maror is a vegetable. Salty water is water. The silver goblets that we put out. Kol Shel Eliyahu are silver. Those things are all material. We endow all of those things with Kedusha. We sanctify them, we elevate them, we make them holy. In order for a material thing to be filled with Kedusha, think of your Yom Tov Teva, it requires a Jew to come and to dedicate it to Kedusha. So when we come to the table and we say, Alachilas Maror, Alachilas Matzah, Arba Kosos of Leil HaSeder, what we are doing is we are elevating the most Gashmistic things. They're all Gashmist, they're base physicality of this world. But through the Shem Mitzvah, through the Shem Shemayim, and through the Bracha, we elevate the physicality. We make it something spiritual. And then we've given an intense Kedusha. A Jew has the Korach through Asiyas Torah Mitzvos. It's amazing. We have the Korach to transform. It's amazing. Something that is totally physical into something that is Kula Kedusha. It's really incredible when you think about it. Wine. Wine is just, it's the byproduct of grapes. It's not holy. In fact, wine can be used for very debased purposes. But when a Jew sanctifies the essence of the Mitzvah, then wine becomes holy. So in order for a material thing to be filled with Kedusha, it requires a Jew to come and dedicate it to Kedusha. This is true for Eretz Yisrael. This is true for the Beis HaMikdash. And this is true for our Korbanos. Again, I'm not sure exactly I understand what that means, that Eretz Yisrael, we make Eretz Yisrael holy. My understanding is that it's the first Rashi. Rashi to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph of Sefer Bereishis. So I'm not exactly sure how Eretz Yisrael ties into this concept of we endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha, but we do understand the concept that we endow things with Kedusha. We gave an example of the Yom Tov Teva, okay? So the Yom Tov Teva is Kodesh. It's filled with Gashmistic things, but we have elevated those things. The same is true, therefore, of the Beit HaMikdash, okay? When Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, he consecrated it to God. It became Kadosh. I think there's something in my eye, sorry. Okay? As well as for korbanos. A korban is a, we're in Sefer Vayikra, person brings out the korban pasach. Okay, a sheep, a goat, keves ben shana, zachor tamim, you bring a korban. And it's just an animal. An animal is not intrinsically holy. It has no holiness. It's serving Hashem. It's fulfilling the purpose of why Hashem put it here. Parak shira, very nice. But it's not holy. Your cow's not holy. Your sheep's not holy. Oh, if a Jew elevates it and consecrates it to God, then all of a sudden it's a totally different status. So it's very, very clear that a Jew comes and dedicates something for Kedusha. It is now filled with Kedusha, even if it's a material object. My only caveat with this is I don't exactly understand how that fits in Eretz Yisrael, but the concept we for sure understand. The same holds true for the Yamim Tovim. Their Kedusha is generated when the Jews declare a new month. So unlike Shabbos, which has intrinsic holiness, irrespective of what I do or I don't do. Now, for my own spiritual well-being, and for my own spiritual survival, of course, I hope a Jew is keeping Shabbos. But Shabbos is going to be holy no matter what you do or you don't do. That cow is not going to be holy if it stays on your farm and you never consecrate it to God. It's a cow. It's very nice. It's a cow. And the wine's not going to be holy if you use it for debased purposes. It's only going to be holy if you use it for Kiddush, Arba Kosos, Kiddushin. The same holds true for the Yamim Tovim, says Rav Pinkas. Their Kedusha is generated when the Jews declare a new month. Relates to Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim exactly. Chodesh Hazalechem Rosh Chodashim. The first mitzvah we are given on the cusp of our freedom is to declare a Rosh Chodesh. The Kedusha of the Yamim Tovim is only generated when the Jews declare a new month. So the Chagim, unlike Shabbos, do not have an intrinsic objective Kedusha. Their Kedusha is subjective, so to speak, only when the Yidden declare a new month. Now today the calendar set, but it used to be in biblical temple times, the two Edom would go up to the Beis HaGadol, to the Sanhedrin, and they would declare that they saw the new moon, and they would determine if the testimony was accurate, and then they would say, now we know when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, now we know when Yom Kippur is going to be, now we know when Chag HaPasach is going to be. Depends on when they declare a new month. So who gives the Kedusha to the Yamim Tovim? Kal Yisrael. When we declare a new month, which happens when, quote, the Sanhedrin accepts the witnesses who have seen the new moon. So if you think that's just an exaggeration, listen to this Medrash. Okay, the last thing we read in Rav Shimshon Pinchas is that the Kedusha of the holidays depend on Klai Yisrael declaring an Umunah. I'm going to repeat it for you. Listen. The same holds true for the Yom Tov. So Rav Pinchas says, Eretz Yisrael, we make it holy. Now, by the way, I do understand that we have to go to Eretz Yisrael and act in a holy way. I just don't exactly understand that Eretz Yisrael is made holy through us. Look at the Ramban. We're coming up to Parashas Achrim, chapter 18, 20, 24 through 25. The Ramban writes, the land will expel, she will vomit out her inhabitants, because Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh, it cannot handle Tumah, it cannot handle sin. Okay, so there are certain things that a Jew makes holy, amongst them the Beit HaMikdash. Yes, karbanos, wine, silver, maror, matzah, you take something mundane and you make it holy. Now, Pinchas says, last step, the same holds true for the Yamim Tovim. The Kedusha of the Yamim Tovim is not generated by God, unbelievably. The Kedusha of the Yamim Tovim only is generated when the Jew says, it's Rosh Chodesh. When the Jews declare a new month, which happens when the Sanhedrin accepts the witnesses who have seen the new moon, now we have Yom Tov. Otherwise, there's no Yom Tov. Shabbos is going to come every 7 days. Doesn't matter if it does matter, but Lamaisa, Shabbos is coming whether the Jews keep it or not. Yom Tov is not coming if the Jews don't declare a new moon. We give Yom Tovim Kedusha. So, of course, it's so nice because this relates to Chag HaPesach, which is upon us. So, I'm going to quote the Medrash. Listen to this Medrash. It's Medrash Devarim Rabbah. Parsha Beis Siman Yudalet. Okay, Medrash Devarim Rabbah 2:14. The Medrash is commenting on a pasuk from Sefer Devarim. The pasuk is as follows. It's It's Sefer Devarim Perak Dalet Pasuk Zayin Devarim 4:7 is the following pasuk. Medrash Devarim Rabbah Parsha Beis Siman Yudalet is going to comment on this pasuk. So what's the pasuk? The pasuk tells us in Devarim 4:7, "Umi goy gadol, who is such a great nation? Asher lo Elokim, who has a God, krovim elav, that is so close to Kashem Elokeinu, like Hashem our God, bechol karanu elav." Wow, what an unbelievable maisa! The Medrash is going to explain this pasuk. And who is such a great nation that has a God who is so close to it, the nation, like Hashem our God, whenever we call out to Him? The Medrash says, "What is? Listen to this." The Medrash presents a facet of God's unique closeness to the Jewish people. Asher lo Elokim krovim elav. That Klal Yisrael has a Hashem who is so close, and you can't find this anywhere else. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, let me just see if I put it down. It might be easier for me than holding it. The Medrash said is very big. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kirsha miskansin malachi hasharis lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the word knesia, knesia gedola, li kanis, shamis kansin malach esharis of nekosh barachu. When the heavenly angels enter into, when they go before God, I'm going to do it this way. When the ministering angels gather before the Holy One, blessed be ye. Lomar, the ministering angels say to Hashem, you know Hashem, emasai Rosh Hashanah, the emasai Yom Kippurim. The ministering angels come into the God's based in. They say, Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah? Hashem, when is Yom Kippur? Artsko Medrash Rabbah footnote. These are the days on which God judges the world. The angels want to know when is Rosh Hashanah and when is Yom Kippur. They serve in the heavenly court as the accusers and the defenders of humanity. Scary thought. So the angels say, Hashem, we need to get our testimony ready. We need to prepare for trial. So in order to prepare for trial of who? Trial of all of us. When is Rosh Hashanah? When is Yom Kippur? So they have to know. Tiferet Zion writes something interesting, different. The angels themselves are judged, as it is stated in the Unasana Tok of prayer. Hine Yom Hadin, behold, it is the day of judgment. Lifkad al tzva marom bedin, to deal with the host of heaven in judgment. So there's two reasons why the angels want to know. Maybe there's more reasons, two reasons here, why they want to know when is Rosh Hashanah, when is Yom Kippur. One, they have to prepare their case for court. Two, they themselves are going to be judged. Okay, so what does Hashem say to them? When the ministering angels enter the holy convocation and they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emasai Rosh Hashanah, Emasai Yom Kippurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers them, Li Ma Atem Shoalim. I don't know when Rosh Hashanah is, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know when Yom Kippur is. Why are you asking me? I'm quoting verbatim. Aniva Atem Neleich Eitzel Beistin Shalmata. You and I, meaning I, Hashem, and you, the angels, we'll go down there. We're going to go to this world, Olam Haza, and the Olam Lamata, Min HaShemayim, and we're going to see what they say in the Beis Din Shamata. Rav Shimshon Pinkus, this is the Medrash. I mean, maybe it's brought down other places. I don't know. Rav Pinkus doesn't quote it. This is a Medrash that proves who invests the Yamim Tovim with Kedusha? Not a Kosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Kaiser. Shabbos is going to be Kosh no matter what we do or what we don't do. We're always locked in a loving embrace, and Shabbos takes us to the four corners of the earth, and it's what allows us to survive, because it has Kedusha in and of itself. When it comes to the Yamim Tovim, we give a Kedusha. It's an unbelievable Medrash. The ministering angels say, Hashem, when is Rosh Hashanah? Hashem, when is Yom Kippur? And he says, Li ma tam shalim? Why are you asking me? Aniva tam nelich etzel beistin shemata. Let's go take a trip down there, and let's see what it says by the earthly court, the Sanhedrin, today, when to know when these holy days will be. Arskofun, nope. For the start of the new month is determined by the Sanhedrin, the rabbinic high court, based on direct observation of the new moon. Minayin, how do we know? Dichtivt, because now the Medrash quotes the Pasuk from Devarim, Asher lo Elokim krovim elav. Since the Pasuk in Devarim 4:7 says that a nation, we are a great nation that has a God who is close to it. That's what the Pasuk says. Asher lo uma krova ve'ein ksiv kan. The Pasuk doesn't say that God is close to uma krova. It doesn't say, okay. The verse does not say, Asher lo uma krova. The verse does not say, for who is a God that is a nation who is close to him? It doesn't say we are close to Hashem. It says Hashem is close to us. The Medrash picks up on that nuance. If the Pasuk would say we are close to Hashem, it would indicate something else. It says Hashem is close to us. El Asher lo elkim krova melev. Rather, the verse says, as a God who is close to it. Article footnote explains as follows. Since the verse describes God as being close to the Jewish people, rather than the other way around, the implication is that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself brings himself nearer to the Jews on earth. So if it would say we are close to God, it means we are elevating ourselves up to Shemayim, so to speak. The fact that it says, Mi Goy Gadol Asher Lo Elokim Krovim Elav, who is such a great nation that Hashem, our God, is close to us, means Hashem comes down to be close to us. In what respect? In what regard? The sanctification of the new month, which determines when the Yamim Tovim would be. Hu v'chol pamlaya shalom. Last lines of the Medrash, last words. Not only that, but the usage of the plural form krovim, mi goy gada asher lo elkim krovim elav. Why is it in the plural form? There's only one Hashem. Why is it should say asher lo Hashem karov elav. It shouldn't say krovim. Why does it say plural form? Hashem is close to it in the plural. Hu v'chol pamlaya shalom. This teaches us God and his entire entourage of angels are close to the Jewish people. Article footnote, Yafei Torah, Manas Kuna, Tiferet Zion explained. The sense of the verse is that God and the ministering angels descend from heaven, so to speak, and come close to the Jewish nation. The Medrash interprets this to mean that it is God and the angels who descend upon the Sanhedrin, for it is they who determine the time of the new moon and the correct dates for the holidays. I just think it's so funny. That's where we're ending with Rav Pinkas, and it's all relevant to Chag HaPesach. Because when is Rosh Hashanah? When is Yom Kippur? When is Sukkot? When is Pesach? Kosh Baruch Hu says, don't ask me. It depends on the Kedusha that Klal Yisrael invests into those days. But what about the Kedusha for Shabbos? Hashem said that alone is up to me. We can choose to tap into the Kedusha of Shabbos, but we don't endow Shabbos with Kedusha. Chag HaPesach, we give a Kedusha. Shavuos, we give a Kedusha. Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and on that order, Sukkos, we give it the Kedusha. When it comes to Shabbos Kodesh, the mirror is a Kosh Baruch Hu. So Kosh Baruch Hu gives a day Kedusha, and we can choose to recharge our batteries by connecting with our soulmate of Shabbos, which ensures our survival throughout the age. Shabbos HaGadol. We should take a bizocha to see the Gadol of the Gedula, of the great Geula, the Karv Mamash, and the merit of our Shmir Shabbos, our Hava Shabbos, our Onik Shabbos, tapping into the Kedusha of Shabbos to ensure we are always in a loving brace with HaKosh Baruch. I wish you a beautiful Shabbos. I wish you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And these Divrei Torah should be schus with the Aliyah Neshama of Chai Shprinza, Bas Avram, Allah Hashem, Kol Tov, and thank you so much to all.